It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Nikki Zavola has been blogging about the science behind beauty products since 2007, when it was time for her to launch her own line of beauty products known as Futurederm. Nikki already had a loyal following. She's taken a leave from the third year of medical school to pursue Futurederm, and she joins us in Studio A. Nikki Zavola, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Terry Glick, Director of Communications and Community Development at InnovationWorks, to talk about what it takes to grow a successful entrepreneurial idea. Terry Glick, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great to be here.
So, Nikki, what is Futurederm, and how did this brand come about?
Well, we have a brand that is based on teaching the real science behind beauty products. There tends to be a pervasive myth in our culture that you have to be somewhat vapid to invest significant time or money into products. Yet the average woman in the U.S. is more educated and empowered financially than ever before and still spends 2 weeks of time and $400 on average each month on beauty products and services. That's more than six times as much time as men spend grooming and more than the average person spends on car payments. And, you know, we can go into all sorts of discussion about why that is, but that's another conversation. you know, this is a $426 billion industry with double-digit growth each year. And people think that people are afraid to innovate or tell the educated truth about beauty products because they think that the marketplace isn't demanding it. But in truth, the female consumer is more intellectually curious than ever before.
And so what we're talking about here is a line of products that, among other things, it's like anti-aging
yes.
type stuff. And there's a lot of this out there. And,
sure.
and some people are skeptical about whether it even works. So I will ask you about specifically with regard to your product, how does it work? And does it in fact is it designed to reverse the aging process or to take away the things that make us look aged?
Sure. So, you know, I started out as a medical student at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. And actually, I was educated through the BSMD program. So I worked in a laboratory during my pre-medical studies as well. And during my time in the laboratory and studying, I couldn't get over how many studies there are that are directly applicable to products in cosmetic dermatology. There are literally thousands of studies that prove that retinol in the concentration it is used in over-the-counter beauty products can actually change the appearance of your skin with regular use over time.
What does it do to it?
So retinol does several things. It increases cellular turnover. So basically,
Cellular turnover.
So whenever you're 7 years old, basically you're going to have a new set of skin cells about once every 21 days. However, by the time you're 70, you're only going to have one new set of skin cells about once every 160 days. Now, there are some skin cells that are going to be turning over over the time, but you're not going to have a complete new set until one-eighth the time as when you were younger. So it helps to increase cellular turnover. It also inhibits an enzyme called matrix metalloproteinases. They're MMPs for short, and they degrade collagen. So if you inhibit MMPs, you essentially keep collagen for longer.
So you have this scientific background in chemistry, and you're in medical school. So how much does that help you to do this and to be able to look at the research, actually maybe do experiments,
mm-hmm, yes,
and then, you know, put this thing in on the market?
Tremendously, because in science, you're at the opposite end of the spectrum as in business, because in science, your ability to succeed is largely based on your ability to be a skeptic. And so coming into a business being a skeptic, I have to essentially prove the claims to myself before I can ever prove them to an audience. So we do extensive research. We actually have an algorithm by which we identify gaps in the beauty market. And then we also identify ingredients, delivery systems, et cetera, that are most effective in independent clinical studies, and then we pair the two. And so it's that marriage of traits that essentially allows us to create like the products that are Futurederm.
And what led you to go from blogging about beauty care to, you know, doing this hands-on thing where you're creating your own products?
Well, you know, I was so excited about all the things that I was learning. And so, you know, I started the blog partly for a selfish reason, just, you know, for it to be like a living organism of a notebook. So it would like learn and grow as I was to house my growing database of thoughts. And then partly as a means to reach out to others in case there was anybody else who might be interested in that information I was learning. And it turns out I wasn't alone. FutureDerm.com receives about 250,000 views each month. We were named the number one beauty blog by Shape Magazine. We've done press with the New York Times, Shape, Redbook, a number of large publications.
Terry Glick, FutureDerm doesn't seem to be a technology-based company like we often see with Alpha Lab startups. So what made this a good fit?
Right. So whether it's a technology company or just a science-based company, obviously this is a very science-based company, but it fits the Alpha Lab model in that Nikki already had a lot of knowledge about her customer. She had an idea for a product and a product that she thought she could get at least a first version of out to the market in a short amount of time, not exactly the 20 weeks of the program, but very close. So that's kind of an Alpha Lab model, a company that can be efficient with the cash investment that we put in, which is a small investment, $25,000 investment that Nikki was extremely smart about how she used that money to get her company off the ground. She already had an incredible understanding of the marketplace, which is very important. And she could really use that time, effort, the expertise that we provided, the education and the mentors to get that first product out. So that is an Alpha Lab company. Now, whether you think that's a tech company, a consumer products company, a science-based company, it's sort of yes, it is all of those things. So that's a company that fits for us. And subsequently, InnovationWorks has invested in Nikki's company because it is going to be, it's going to be a great success. It's already on that track.
And certainly someone like Nikki with her background and considering the product that she's marketing, she as a person would seem to be the benchmark for someone that you would want to be involved in something like this. But what do you think makes it possible for someone to take a successful leap into entrepreneurship?
Well, I will use Nikki as that poster child. So she has a great technical background. So a technical founder is typically what we see as either an Alpha Lab or an InnovationWorks or just a startup entrepreneur. But Nikki also had a lot of the other things that we're looking for: tenacious, curious, coachable, extremely coachable. So she was going to take everything that our expertise and mentors could put into her. She was going to turn into how to use that to make her product better.
Like, what sorts of things did you coach her on?
Oh, I think that, well, Nikki would be a better one to answer this.
What kind of coaching were you given?
You know, I guess the best example of that is whenever I first started the company, I think that, you know, I needed help on everything. Coming from medical school, I needed help on everything from pitching to developing a product to marketing to, you know, just communicating the right message. And Terry was absolutely astounding with that. And then moving into year two, I'm finding that my job description is constantly changing. So I work very closely with Alicia McGinnis, Bernard Stockline, Pete Tacomo, and as well as Terry and great people at InnovationWorks, and they're teaching me how to hire, train, manage, measure employee performance, give feedback effectively, and essentially how to communicate. And so there's different skill sets that I'm constantly learning, and within those skill sets, I'm constantly learning how to measure my own performance, give myself feedback, and elicit it from others close to me, much more knowledgeable and experienced than me, and you know, to keep communicating.
How many people have you hired?
Right now, we have 5 full time as of today. So,
you're creating jobs.
Yes, we are. We are, and we actually have 4 full time, 4 part time employees as well. So it's an amazing time.
We're talking about the company that Nikki Zavola has started, FutureDerm, which creates a line of beauty products, anti-aging products that are scientifically based in extensive research that Nikki has done. And also with us is Terry Glick, Director of Communications and Community Development at InnovationWorks, talking about how to grow a successful entrepreneurial idea. How has it helped for FutureDerm to be popular as a brand and a blog before becoming an actual product?
What I would say is what's great about starting a blog and building the audience before you start the product is because it puts your focus where it needs to be from day one, and that's with the customer. The limiting factor in startups is not usually people or money or other physical resources, but it's actually time. And if you spend your lead time exhausting resources, as most startups do, while you're concentrating on perfecting the product, that leaves very little time to get to the customer, much less to acquire evangelical customers who are going to like and share the products with all their friends and tell them how much they love, love, love
Future. Evangelical customers.
Yes.
I guess everybody needs those evangelical customers.
Absolutely. And I took that from Seth Godin, so that's not mine. But yes. Yeah, so you know, I'd encourage any entrepreneur to simultaneously try to build their product and their customer base because it sets the mentality of your business right where it needs to be from day one, and that's with your consumer and their wants.
So you were blogging about this, but at what point did you know for sure that you wanted to market a product? You didn't start the blog necessarily with the intent of doing this, did you?
No, but actually I started my career with the intent of doing this. So ever since I was little, I actually wanted to start a skincare company. I used to actually mix all of my grandmother's creams together when I was little.
You were how old when you were doing this?
Like 3, and then I used to like smear them all over her face and hair, and she would just like sit there and... She was like a saint.
She just let you do it.
Yes. And then, you know, I actually went through the whole shebang. I enrolled in medical school. I worked in laboratories. I really wanted to have the firm understanding of chemistry, skin physiology, and biology. And I thought I would go through a dermatology residency program and then start a company. But it was during year 7 of 8 of the BSMD program at Pitt. And I was a finalist in the Randall Family Big Idea competition. And then I was invited to apply to Alpha Lab. And now we've raised a Series A round of funding, and I'm still on leave of absence from medical school. So,
will you be going back?
You know, people ask me that all the time. And I think that the best answer is, you know, I'm living in the moment. I'm living my passion and my dream right now, and we'll see where the future takes me. I do believe in finishing what you start. But, you know, gosh, you know, I might be like a 50-year-old medical student. So.
That's nothing wrong with that. I think there's a few out there.
That's true. That's definitely true. It's never too late to start.
And what do you think makes or has made your blog so popular?
You know, there's a lot of things that we will tell people that debunk a lot of myths out there. For instance, like right now all over the internet, there's a myth that baking soda is better for your hair than traditional shampoo. And most people don't, you know, like roll up their sleeves and divvy into the science about that. But I'm not going to say this is a skincare entrepreneur.
Let's see,
but...
Prell or Arm & Hammer? Which am I going to go with here?
Right. You know, but like baking soda is like a chemical. You know, it's sodium bicarbonate that has a pH of 10. And, you know, natural.
And you want the pH to be lower?
Yes. Yeah. Significantly lower, like more neutral. And, you know, if you actually apply it to your hair, it opens the hair follicle. It strips your hair of color. It's like a bleach and it causes it to be dry and brittle. But a lot of natural and holistic product advocates right now on the internet are saying that, you know, it's somehow safer because it comes from a little orange box in the fridge rather than a bottle.
So, you know, baking soda may be great for a lot of products, but for a lot of things, have many uses, but working on your hair is not one of them.
Absolutely. Okay. And we're not afraid to teach people like, hey, that doesn't work and here's why. So that's just one example.
Well, that's just one example of a common myth that apparently you've had to debunk on your blog. Are there some others here in just the minute or so we have left?
I'm sure.
Probably too many, but what are some of the big ones?
You know, one thing that I've heard a lot of lately with people loving natural and organic products is that, you know, if I can't eat it, I'm not going to put it on my face.
Yikes.
And don't get me wrong, I love Whole Foods as much as the next woman. But the idea that you should only use skincare products that you can eat is actually the converse of the truth. Mild acids, like glycolic acid, should only be used on your face. And alkaline foods, like green leafy vegetables, should actually be consumed. And we not only tell people this, but we teach them why. And real quick, like the skin has an acid mantle that's disrupted by overly alkaline products, whereas the digestive system's also acidic, but then it needs to break down foods well for proper digestion. So you actually, in the digestive system, it has to be alkaline or the opposite. And so, you know, we debunk the myths, but then we also teach people why, you know, that these common beliefs are wrong.
The science behind FutureDerm. Nikki Zavola of FutureDerm here with us in Studio A, along with Terry Glick, Director of Communications and Community Development at Innovation Works, talking about what it takes to grow a successful entrepreneurial idea. Thanks to both of you for being with us.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Coming up, Pittsburgh City Paper film critic Al Hoff takes us to the movies. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.